powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport with you until 6 o'clock. JT Productions here as well. And let's visit with Drew Maddux. We haven't talked to Coach Maddux in a while. CPA basketball coach and, more importantly to us, maybe 3HL college basketball analyst. Drew Maddux joins us now. Drew, what's up? How are you, man?
B, it is so great to hear your voice, and it was great to talk to JT off air. And so just been missing you guys. I pray nothing but abundant well-being and health and safety for all of you and your families. And so it's great to be with you this afternoon.
I'm curious, prior to COVID-19, how many Zoom sessions had you done?
Yeah, exactly zero. And I hit my ratio of about, I'm averaging anywhere between 6 and 8 a day.
Are you still, like, you're the trick shot master? Like, every time I turn around, you're on sport. Like, I made the joke, you're on SportsCenter more than Linda Cohn these days. Are you still thinking through some trick shots? You still able to kind of socially distance that stuff?
Well, you know, I'm just a giant kid at heart, and so we're always looking for an opportunity to play a massive game of horse and to do something fun. And so, yeah, we're just in fact, I just got messaged by, I'll just break it here, but ESPN, they're going to be broadcasting, utilizing one of our shots we had done in the past. Be looking for that all over social media and maybe even to the network tonight. But exciting. Yeah, we're just always looking for ways. So I need ideas. Anybody that has ideas that are listening today, please direct message me as I'm looking for some fun trick shot ideas.
Okay, I've got a trick shot for you. So Woody Kane came on from MRN, and the first thing he said, we were going to talk about Darlington, which we did, but the first thing that he said was, Bristol Motor Speedway will be the third stop for the NASCAR guys. And so we were glad that he told us that. You need to come up with something from Bristol, dude. That would be unbelievable. I don't know what you could do. Maybe stand on a crane or something. I don't know.
Yeah, if you guys want to set that up, I don't know anybody within the NASCAR realm, but I'll let you be my brokers and my agent on that. And I'm always game. So this show travels. You just tell me when and where, and I'll throw a ball through a hoop.
I mean, a basketball goal attached to the roof of a car moving around the racetrack, that would be unbelievable. I'm going to take full credit for that idea because we need to get that done. Hey, Drew, we're all watching The Last Dance. What are your thoughts about this unbelievable docuseries?
It's just it's my childhood resurrected. I mean, I think it's like everybody that grew up that's around my age group. I mean, it's just been it's my childhood. It's all those memories and all those stories I've shared with my kids or some of our players over the years. It's been incredible and so much fun to watch, because obviously, just like everybody that grew up in my generation, Michael Jordan was clearly our favorite player. There wasn't a square inch in my room that didn't have a Michael Jordan poster on the wall. And so many of those stories and some of those games I remembered. But man, how much fun has it been to hear some of the behind the scenes stuff that we never, ever knew, because there was no social media. There was no coverage like there is today. Just pretty incredible. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love the behind the scenes stuff, but there's been a lot of talk about how Michael Jordan, you know, was this kind of tyrannical leader from a standpoint of the way that he led and treated his teammates, but demanded the best out of them. You're a big leadership guy. How important that is. It's almost like some coaches out there have expressed concern, or other players have expressed concern that kids nowadays will watch that and say, oh, that's the way to lead. It worked for Michael Jordan. It doesn't necessarily work for every player. What, as a coach, as a mentor, as a guy that speaks leadership often, what would you say to somebody about that Michael Jordan leadership style?
Yeah, I think that it's Dolan a one-off, you know, because we're talking about the greatest that has ever played. You know, I tell people all the time, I believe there's three different leadership styles. I think there's the leadership style that's able to push from behind. There's the leadership style that is able to pull upward. And then there's the leadership style that, you know, comes alongside and puts your arm around somebody and you're in the fight with them. I would like to think of myself as kind of that third style leadership. It doesn't make any of the leadership styles right or wrong or one better than the other. But clearly you got to have the makings and all the things that line up if you're going to be that type of leader that we're seeing from Michael Jordan. And you know, we had heard stories over the years. I was very close with Charles Davis and Will Perdue, who played on those Bulls teams, and they shared many stories growing up. But I think it would be awfully difficult. You know, I get asked a lot between LeBron James' leadership style and Michael Jordan's leadership style, and which one would I want to play with and who could I play with. I have to say, I think it would be extremely hard to perform under those situations, but clearly it was a different time, a different way, and it worked, right? I mean, 6-for-6 in their pursuit of world championships.
Drew, the NCAA is on the attack. We're at the point now where universities are just firing back at them. It appears that they've lost some of their punch. How interested are you to see how these situations at Kansas, Louisville, NC State, Auburn play themselves out?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, highly interesting. Now we're seeing the Zion Williamson, you know, in the Duke situation, But, Brent, I thought that, you know, the first domino that tipped kind of thumbing their nose up at the NCAA was what Iona did, right? When they announced that Rick Pitino was coming back to the world of college basketball back early in all of this in the spring, I thought that was the first sign, you know, kind of coming out of this FBI probe and all this stuff that we thought was going to happen. And they clearly just said, no, we do not care, and we are going to hire this guy. So what you're seeing is, you know, university presidents and athletic directors stand up for their coaches, and they're going to defend. And now, you know, it just appears that even the NCAA is going to have less of a pull and a stronghold in light of this COVID situation, you know, with the scheduling and the states being allowed to really dictate what's best for their schools. And so what we're starting to see is the legs cut out from the leadership and the power that the NCAA once had.
You mentioned the Zion lawsuit. It looks like they're going to go all in on this. Certainly they are. But what if Coach K gets deposed? Could you imagine an NCAA, not just an NCAA coach under oath, but Coach K under oath?
Yeah, I will bet my mortgage that never happens. there's no way they're going to depose, you know, somebody like that. It's not good for anyone involved. And so there would have to be a lot that would occur before we see Mike Krzyzewski ever take the stand.
I know this is kind of a sideball question, but I've always wanted to ask you this. I'm curious. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to play for Eddie Fogler, Drew? And the reason why I ask is, and you know this, but others may not, you accepted a scholarship offer from him, but then he went to South Carolina during your junior year at Good Pasture. Jan Van Bredekhoff comes in. I love Jan. But I'm curious, have you ever wondered what that would have been like?
Yes. Loved Coach Fogler. Loved Coach Callahan and Coach Doherty. Coach Lebo, their staff was phenomenal. What they had done and the momentum they had built coming off the SEC championship team in 1993. You know, I thought Vanderbilt basketball was really starting to move in a direction to be an SEC leader. The recruiting classes that they were bringing in, the way that they played stylistically, it lined up with the mission and vision of Vanderbilt University. Clearly always have thought about what that would have been like, and so much so that, you know, I withdrew my verbal commit at that time and was looking at going to a place like Columbia, South Carolina, because the relationship was that strong with him and his staff. So he went on to South Carolina, had great, you know, success there. But all that to say, when you circle back, I have zero regrets. Coach Van Bredekhoff was outstanding for me, my personal development on the court, and then more importantly, off the court as I set out and launched into manhood.
Class guy. While we're talking about this, your first start, if I'm not mistaken, was against Kentucky in Rupp Arena. I think you went up against Tony Delk that night, right? And from people I talked to, that might have been the best high school basketball player this state has ever produced. What do you remember from that matchup?
Yeah, I remember the day pulling up to Rupp Arena, and obviously it was my first time to play there. And you can imagine, like, hearing that you're going to start and your first start's going to be in, you know, that iconic venue playing against the University of Kentucky, Rick Pitino on the sideline. I think they were obviously ranked top five in the country. We were a national ABC. Dick Vitale was in attendance that day. So all of these things playing. And then, like you said, the fact that you were going against Tony Delk, that was somebody I had grown up playing against. He played for the great Memphis YMCA AAU teams. We played for the Tennessee Travelers on the eastern side of the state. So I grew up playing against Tony and have known Tony for a long, long time and just always appreciated, admired him. But needless to say, the butterflies were real. I may or may not have thrown up in a stall in that arena before we went out to the court, but that's something that we don't talk about anymore.
Former Vanderbilt All-SEC guard Drew Maddox with us to talk college basketball. I'm curious, on a high school note, as a high school basketball coach, obviously AAU is not going on. This offseason is completely different than anything that we've ever experienced. As a high school basketball coach, how challenging is this, and what do you anticipate as we move into high school basketball season? What do you think the play will be like?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be interesting just to watch. I think first, you know, what we're going to see is our high school associations around the country really deal with the fall sports first. But I think, you know, the safety and the health of our student athletes and those that we serve is paramount. I think that's the most important thing. And so when we're able to return to the gym, if we're not able to return to the gym for a while, I think, you know, just maintaining the health and well-being of those that we serve is the most important thing. That being said, secondly, I think it's unique time, you know, for kids to kind of return back to the throwback way that we all grew up, you know, working out, which was in your driveway or on the blacktop or doing body weight push-ups and all of those kinds of things. And I think it's just a return to some old school values that this opportunity has allowed us to have. And I think we'll come back stronger, more ready than ever, and more appreciative for the opportunity that interscholastic athletics presents.
Appreciate the time, Drew. Always great to talk to you, man. Glad you're doing well. We look forward to seeing whatever we will see trick shot wise on the ESPN platforms tonight. And look forward to it, man. Thank you.
Awesome. You guys be blessed. We'll talk soon.
All right, Drew Maddox, @DrewMaddox on Twitter, 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5.
So.